Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. Man City are off to Burnley after slaying Manchester United. Chelsea go to Old Trafford and Spurs host West Ham. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hiya, it's Football Ramble. We're back. Ow!
Here we go.
Yeah.
Pete looks like he's going to press something. Oh. I thought you're doing something with your finger. I better not talk because there's something coming up.
I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
That's Jim Campbell.
Jim's got bronchitis.
Yeah.
Was that Jim?
Yeah. It was, yeah. He's, okay. He has got time for that.
That's what he sounds like. That's what he sounds like when he hasn't got bronchitis.
He rang up this morning. Oh, he didn't ring up this morning. He sent us a voice message on WhatsApp, didn't he? Going, yeah. Putting on the best ill person voice.
Yeah.
He's not very well. It's clear he's not very well. But there's something very conceited.
It's important
conceited.
To say, though, the bronch.
Something very conceited about someone leaving a voice message going, hello, lads, I'm not feeling very well.
And we should importantly say that the bronchitis is self-diagnosed.
Can you do an impression of Jim doing the message?
Hello, he's ill and that.
I said it looked like, sounded like Wearside Jack.
Yes, the guy who famously almost kiboshed the
Yorkshire Ripper investigation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm not very well, you'll never catch us.
Yeah.
Aye.
Anyway.
Wearside Jack there.
Down memory lane.
Yeah.
Wearside Jim.
My God.
He won't listen to this, so it doesn't matter.
No.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Right. Let's talk about that Manchester derby, eh?
Oh.
Well, Burnley, of course, stand in Manchester City's way of the title, presuming Liverpool win all their games. Of course, you would fancy them to beat Huddersfield on the Friday night, but Manchester City, they got a big win at Old Trafford. Any chat of Manchester United, perhaps... I suppose, what would you say, sort of taking it easy or whatever in light of some Manchester United fans saying, oh, we'd rather Man City won the title than Liverpool. That was certainly put to bed straight away. And what I liked about it before the match was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer getting involved in a bit of mind games.
Yeah.
He said about the, oh, they'll try and foul us on the break but and then, all that kind of stuff. I love that.
Mind games aren't as good when your players aren't that good, though.
Oh, no, I thought he had a...
But then sort of Pep did the exact same thing against Gary Neville. About a year ago
Did
or
he?
Something. Yeah, Gary Neville made the same point, saying that they always make their fouls nice and early and upfield as well. Somebody pointed out the parallels between the two. Maybe Big Nev's been ringing up. Oh, got a rise out of him last time.
Not Big Nev.
The Man City,
Little Nev.
Aren't Man City top of the foul league? I think they might be.
Yeah.
But anyway, you guys talk about the game and just let me know when I can talk about Roy Keane.
Oh, he was at his best, wasn't he?
It was great.
Wasn't he?
Absolutely great.
Roy Keane.
I just like how he just returns from being terrible at management then goes, I got a few things to say about this.
Yeah.
And nobody goes, you're not very good at this either, buddy.
But he's not talking about management. He's talking about players.
Yeah.
Do you know something? Let's go straight to it then. The second goal, Darmian took it easy and Sané got the shot away. And obviously De Gea should have saved it. I am firmly in Camp Keane and Souness, which is always a safer place to be.
I'm firmly in Camp Keane on everything.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what he says. No, but I think there's truth in what both they were saying. For those people who didn't have the privilege of seeing the coverage, particularly, they were arguing about whether Darmian's done enough to get close to Sané to stop a goal. And Roy Keane saying he's not done enough, and so is Graham Souness, and Gary Neville saying, well, look, to be fair, they've been running to the ground all game. I know it was only 65 minutes in or whatever, but they've been running to the ground all game, and Matteo Darmian hasn't played an awful lot of football over the last 3 months, hence it happening. I find it interesting that, you know when you get two types of football fans, say, and you get a fan who will defend his team no matter what, like completely sort of one-eyed, and you'll get a fan who will, because they want their team to be better, they'll criticise them all the time. And Roy Keane and Gary Neville, I suspect, are both Man United fans. Now, I'm not saying that affects their professionalism, but they're both in one in each camp. Gary Neville isn't making excuses for Man United, but he wants to be constructive. He wants to defend them. He wants to say that, you know, Man City are a really good team and all the rest of it. And Roy Keane saying, no, this is unacceptable for a team of this size. They should be doing a lot better. And what it presented was two quite interesting sides of the same coin.
Going to the incident itself.
I think he's got to do better.
I think that I was surprised that he almost took his foot off the gas and let Sané get the shot away. I don't want to focus too much on that because there's a much wider thing going on. Man City are a lot better.
Well, look how Luke Shaw dealt with the first goal. Like Luke Shaw like, backing off, and he gets a shot away, and the same thing happens. It was. I didn't think they were as bad as everyone's saying. I thought that Manchester City are very good.
I didn't think
obviously,
Man United were that bad.
But I thought Man United had their chances and they look quite lively in spells. I don't think they deserve to be hauled over the coals.
They're one shot on target.
Yeah, but they were in
what
the
this
box.
Is, what this is a conversation. a what this is what this is a conversation about is what is to be expected of Man United.
Well,
I think they've done a pretty good job of lowering their expectations. Mm. I mean, they've won two games in nine, mm-hmm. one of those games at least, and possibly both of them. And I'm talking about the West Ham game and the Watford game where they actually won. They were poor. Mm-hmm. I mean, they could, to all intents and purposes, be staring down the barrel of nine defeats in a row. And that, for Man United, is for whoever they're playing, mm-hmm. is utterly unacceptable.
But before the match, Luke, they had that shot in the arm. Phil Jones, new contract. Look,
get it up.
If you can't get it up against Manchester City after hearing that news, what are you?
They did exactly what they should have done, which is what they didn't do against Everton, which they tried pretty hard. Mm-hmm. And they ran themselves quite a lot. And the first half, they were fairly decent. But and that gave them a platform. But in the second half, they were nowhere.
I think the frustrating thing for Manchester United fans would be Man City are better. I mean, there's no point in even 100%. Saying they are. So that's the situation.
Well, when you see Sané coming on, you're like, oh, fuck, yeah. Crying out.
So actually, yeah. When you look at the two goals, they were two goals that probably shouldn't have gone in. Certainly the second one with defending and then the goalkeeper. And I think that's the really frustrating thing for Manchester United, that Man City actually didn't carve them open and create these brilliant goals and whatnot.
If De Gea could have easily saved both of those goals,
and then
where would we have been?
I know, but
they defended with numbers quite well, United. They filled the box and made it difficult.
And at times, you know, on another day they would have scored and maybe there was a few sloppy touches and whatnot in the final third, which could have been converted into goals,
Fred's positioning, when they start going up the field, it's like Fred doesn't know what he's doing. He just looks completely lost. I don't rarely see a player just get so confused. Like, what am I supposed to be doing? Am I chasing the ball? I don't know whether that's his fault.
I think at the moment, Manchester United are still licking their wounds from previous regimes. Mm. And they are, it reminds me of a number of years ago when Arsenal were under Wenger was suddenly no longer really competing properly for titles in the last sort of quarter or third of the season. And people going, but it's Arsenal. They should be doing better. And somebody pointed out, you're looking at the shirts. You're not looking at the players' faces. And I think with Manchester United, there's an element of that. Manchester United are not in the top three sides in the country. Would you say Chelsea were better than Manchester United? Maybe.
Yeah, they probably are.
Probably.
Yeah.
Arsenal? Probably not. You'd probably have Manchester United maybe shade it. So Manchester United, in that quick little chat there, we've said probably are the fifth best team in the country. So when we're saying, I understand the nine games or nine defeats or whatever it is, that's poor. But if you're the fifth best side in the country, probably, maybe fourth if we've been a bit generous, sixth if we're being harsh, that's probably where they are.
But there's still context to be added.
There is context to be added.
If you say to me, Watford are the fifth best team in the country, I'm doing cartwheels around the studio going, good for them, well done.
Yeah.
Talking about Man United, they spent 400 million quid.
Of course. They have spent a lot of money.
But so it is absolutely legitimate for people watching the game saying they should be doing better. Yes, we can understand Man City are a better team. Lindelof costs 30 million quid. Mm-hmm. Fred costs 52 million quid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they are as the conclusion was on the Sky Sports coverage last night was their recruitment's been terrible. Mm-hmm. They've got huge problems off the pitch, which they continue to have, and they've got huge problems on the pitch. And if they're relying on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to sort it all out, which it looks like they might be at this stage, they're in for a long old road. A long old road.
They are.
And fifth place for Man United is nowhere near enough, and they're not going to be able to attract players, and it's going to be hard for them to get out of this rut. I think people deserve to see more than just we tried our best against a big rival, no matter how good they are. Man United are one of the biggest clubs in the world.
They are. But they were beaten by their better City rivals.
And Man City are now 1-4 to win the Premier League with Bet365, by the way. Big favourites. £10 returns, £12.50, including stake.
I mean, what was so nice, what was so brilliant about watching Man City last night was when they're actually pressed and hurried, that's when you see how good they are actually on the ball. Because if teams sit deep against them, yeah, you can still see their quality. But when Man United try to go at them, especially with two quick forwards, and the way they pass it out the back, you just see the calmness, the coolness, the technique, the precision of the passing and all the rest of it. It was, at times, it was glorious to see them play.
They're very good at receiving the ball in tight areas.
Absolutely.
And they're technically very good. But having said that, for the first half yesterday, United did a fairly good job of upsetting their rhythm. And this is a team... City that they do have a weak point or two. I don't think Kompany did okay last night, but he's clearly not an improving player.
Yeah.
Zinchenko isn't a natural fullback from what I've seen. Mm-hmm.
How big is the loss of Fernandinho?
Fernandinho is injured now, so we don't know how big the injury is.
Well, he's gone for scans and stuff. You'd imagine it could be that he doesn't play again this season. Look, and how much is that going to disrupt their rhythm?
Man City are good. There's no question about that. But are they the greatest team, club side the world's ever seen? They're not the greatest team. It's based on last night, they're not. They're very good. They're going to probably pick up 198 points in two seasons, which would say they're one of the best domestic sides we've ever seen in this country. So maybe in that context, it's more of playing the long game with United and understanding they've had a difficult time of it over recent years, and it's a long road back for them.
And it kind of switches now, because obviously Liverpool play first against the basement club you'd imagine, or you'd hope they'd have enough. They've got no right of winning the Premier League if they're going to turn it in against Huddersfield. But we have seen teams like this win, obviously, at this point of the season. Like Manchester City are going to be on the back foot for the first time in a few weeks. That's going to be interesting, I think, on when they're playing Sunday, I think.
Yeah, and they're playing Sunday. Marcus, you said about Man City having this trip to Burnley, right? Mm-hmm. And that's your flashpoint.
Marcus's tickle.
Yeah, for me, my flashpoint is Liverpool in the last day of the season against Wolves. Look at Wolves' record against the good teams in the Premier League. It's very, very strong.
What do you think?
I think there's a chance. I know it's at Anfield, but I think it's a chance that that Wolves team is made up of players who love a big day out.
So when you say it's a flashpoint, though...
I think Liverpool could lose the Premier League on the last day of the season.
Well, yeah, but at the moment it's not in their hand fully, is it? So even if they lost to Wolves and Man City is 6-0 up against Brighton, it's kind of like...
Okay, so it would involve Man City not winning every game.
Yes.
But I think regardless of what happened, that game for Liverpool... I mean, because by then there could be a couple of points clear if Man City slip up the way you think they might. So I think to me, the most likely outcome is that Man City win the league for a number of different reasons, but I think there's a chance that Liverpool could slip up on the last day, regardless of what happens elsewhere.
I think Man City's got a draw on them. They've got a draw.
They've got a draw on them, have they?
Burnley, Leicester, Rodgers' revenge.
Yeah, well, Burnley or Leicester have really, really good shouts, personally.
Jamie Vardy would love to upset the party.
He would, and then have his own party.
Absolutely, yeah.
And not invite them.
Did you see the PFA Team of the Year?
Yes.
Only one non-Man City and Liverpool player in there, and it's Paul Pogba. Is that just a wind-up soon as he came? Yeah. Is that all that is?
Yeah. I think it's mad.
It's generous, isn't it?
Team of the Year is mad. And the timing of it is insane.
I didn't make
you
it.
You can actually draw a line exactly. I don't know when the players voted, but I would have a pretty good guess.
It was after Mourinho left.
So they voted. I'll tell you now, listen. No, I'll tell you exactly when I think they voted on it. They voted on it around the start of March when Paul Pogba went from the middle of December to the end of February, banging goals in, knocking in assists, really playing well for Solskjaer, and the players have just voted for him then. He's done nothing since. He's got 13 goals this season in the Premier League, 7 of them been penalties. It's been a... amazing amount of timing from Paul Pogba.
I'd like to.
Would you not have Hazard in there?
Well,
Hazard's son. I know he missed a lot of the preseason.
Son, Christian Eriksen.
I think's missed too much.
Yeah, but Son has scored some really important goals.
He has, but I think he's just missed too much of the season. I think Eriksen.
Eriksen's had a few quiet patches, but then I think most players have.
What about Zaha?
No, Andros.
Andros.
Yeah. Oh. So more on Andros later, by the way. Stay tuned for that. But I think they've got to change the timing of this. The reality is the players give so little of a shit that they didn't do it at the end of the season after it anymore because they all went off on holiday without voting.
Yeah.
Well, so then they have to do it in March.
Well, if they'd have voted just off the back of last weekend, Ozzy Perez would have been in there.
Right in there. Right in the mix-up.
Bloody right.
Right in the conversation,
been.
Pete. More exactly. on him later as well.
Oh, more on everybody
promises,
later.
Promises.
But now we're going to talk about Manchester United against Chelsea. Chelsea. It's a massive one in the race for top four. A win would take Chelsea to 70 points, six above Manchester United. You would imagine that if Chelsea won that game, that would kill off Man United's top four hopes as well. But Spurs, Arsenal, Chelsea, they've got winnable fixtures left. Mm. But after the talk of what we've just had about Manchester United, they need to win. They need to get back in the top four, not because they can mount a Champions League title challenge next season. It's in terms of the size of the club, the money that comes in, the revenue, and also attracting players. Mm. But of course, Chelsea and Arsenal will feel exactly the same thing.
Of course.
And with Spurs, who we'll come on to in the second half, getting that vital goal against Brighton, you would think that Spurs would surely finish in the top four. So you've got three sides going for that last spot, haven't you, really? And this is a huge game for them. But Chelsea, they stumbled at home to Burnley, only a 2-2 draw, which was a good old affair, wasn't it? If you're a Burnley fan, winding them up, time wasted, and all that.
I find it interesting. I didn't see the game live, but I find it interesting that everyone is just so quick to complain straight away when they don't get a win against Burnley.
Yes,
and Joe Hart said it on last night's coverage when he was doing the Manchester derby. He was talking about Man City going there next. He said, look, I'm not going to give the game away, but we've got a plan. It's a pretty simple plan, but it's an effective plan and we use it.
Yeah.
I was thinking, well, Joe, you're not going to be in the team, so don't worry about that. But it does work. I mean, it does work. There's absolutely nothing wrong. Pep Guardiola said it as well, didn't he, last night? It's going to be long balls. It's going to be second balls. It's going to be us competing. And it's a perfectly legitimate way to play. And if you think of the second half of the season that Ashley Barnes is having, by the way, I mean, he's had a good season. He scored a decent amount of goals, but second half of the season, he's really hit his straps and he's been fantastic.
He got his 11th goal of the season. To put that in perspective, one more than Marcus Rashford, the same as Glenn Murray and Mitro, and one fewer than Lukaku, Son, Firmino, Jimenez and Callum Wilson in the league, of course.
All of those have got far more column inches and press coverage than he's got.
Yeah.
Because he plays for an unfashionable team, basically.
But as you say, he's been superb. You know, they've won, what, three and drawn one in the last four games. And that little spell of form has really ensured that they'll stay up.
Because they're on 40 points now.
The goal average is so big between the goal difference.
I think if you take it from kind of 1st of January, I haven't got it in front of me.
He's turned the screw.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're right up there in terms of form the second half of the season, because they didn't do anything in the first half.
They have turned that screw all the way to Premier League.
Turn that earthworm. All the way.
But what was funny was Chelsea's reaction. David Luiz saying he was very unhappy with the anti-football that they played.
Mm.
Maurizio Sarri has been charged with misconduct as he was sent to the stands, and Gianfranco Zola, who was sent out to do his talking for him, said that the Burnley backroom staff offended Sarri. Who knows?
And he's a man of few cigarettes.
I was going to say,
it's maybe took away his fags, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But they weren't happy with the timers, and I thought, well, this is the same Chelsea side who, lest we forget, a few years ago went to Anfield and were time-wasting after about 4 minutes. You know, so I understand the frustration, and I understand in the heat of the moment, if you're on the end of that and you come away and you go, well, that's just bloody anti-football, I don't... You have to sit back.
In the words of Jose Mourinho, I want a yellow card for time wasting.
All it is sanctimonious.
Of course it is. Of course it is. It was a wonderful point, though, for Burnley. You've got to hand it to them.
Yeah. Worried for Chelsea would be they lost Hudson-Odoi through injury as well.
That's a great shame. He could be out for a little while.
Yeah, he looked... Usually when you see footballers who've just come out of operations, obviously he had his operation, I think, yesterday.
Oh, so he had it already?
He's had it already. They move really quickly.
I thought it depends on the swelling and the type of injury, though.
Yeah, well, he's had an op, and usually you sort of see them in the hospitals and they look like space hospitals. They look so clean and amazing.
Yeah.
This one just looked like your common or garden NHS job. It was brilliant.
God bless them,
God bless them.
God bless them. Chelsea, they are, I mean, 13-8 to win this game with Bet365. United are also 13-8, so it's absolutely poised.
Mm.
£10 on that, or either of those, returns £26.25, including stake. You know, I don't know what Man United's worst run in the Premier League is, but in the Premier League era, I mean.
Yes.
You could. They've got a really, really tough game here.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, Chelsea have got a lot of talented players. I know they're not without their problems, but this is a real... It's almost a straight... Because Arsenal can't be relayed upon at the moment. if Man United don't win this, they're going to be 3 points behind Chelsea. If Chelsea win, they're going to be 6 points behind.
Mm.
At this stage of the season, with a couple of games left, where is there left for them to go?
Europa League, mate.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think just go back to Burnley briefly. Sean Dyche was absolutely loving it after the game. By the way, as he should do.
Yeah.
As he bloody well should do.
Yeah.
And I just think he would absolutely love it to get a point or something off Man City and go, well, you know, Apparently we're time wasters. Apparently we're this, that, the other. Blah, 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 you know, yeah. And I don't think he's a knob because, you know, like Big Sam could be a bit. Well, apparently my he would moan about.
I mean, let's be fair. He's a bit of a knob.
He is a little bit.
If we're talking on the Allardyce scale. It's not in the same league as
but he is
a bit of a bellend.
You could say
all managers are a bit sanctimonious or a bit this, that, and the other.
Mm.
I just think you go to a far bigger side who've got riches beyond your imagination. Blah 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 blah. You're not cheating. Like punching players off the ball and stuff.
No, and you can't get away with that kind of dark art stuff anyway now because of all the cameras.
Yeah, I think everyone's nice to Chelsea. Everyone's rude to Chelsea now because they know that Chelsea's not going to be loaning any players out anytime soon.
Yeah, right.
Chelsea to Burnley, though, is not a tried and trodden route, is it?
No, not exactly.
Although Chelsea did try and get Ashley Barnes, reports to be believed last season, didn't they? Right, but, you know, Burnley, one thing we should point out about them is they managed to steer themselves into seventh last season, obviously into the Europa League. Scoring just 36 goals in 38 games. They've scored 44 this season.
Absolutely.
I mean, they've conceded a fair few more, but they've scored a lot more. So it's for the Burnley fans, who aren't really sort of thought of too often.
They've
probably had a more exciting time this season.
Damn right. But I should say, in the interest of balance as well, I totally understand Chelsea fans' frustration.
Nah, fuck them.
All right.
Fuck all of them, mate.
All right, bollocks to it. Let's have some emails with PED. Say I'm the only bee in your bunny.
Not the bees! Ah! You've got mail.
Bad bee!
And we've got mail. Hello to Dan, the New York Hornet. Hello, Dan. It's a really cool name. I'd like to thank Marcus for almost making me fall off the treadmill this morning. How anyone can listen to the ramble while they're running around? Music or nothing for me.
Is it? No, I like listening to podcasts.
Do you like the podcast?
Yeah. Not ramble.
I almost fell off the treadmill this morning because I was listening to his blinding guess about how many goals per $1 million worth of transfer fee Suarez averaged whilst at Liverpool. There's a few emails about this. Whenever we get numbers wrong, we always get so many emails.
So I jumped in there with Vardy and got that almost spot on. Right. And Marcus and I massively let ourselves down with Suarez.
Yeah.
I think we got to the point where he would have had to have scored almost 1,000 goals for our guest to be right.
According to your fearless leader, Suarez accounted for 25.17 goals per million in transfer outlet, meaning he would have had to have netted 760 goals during his time on Merseyside.
Yeah. How many did he
get? To be fair to Marcus, it was both of us. It was both of us who said that.
Yeah. But to be fair as well, essentially I sort of switched off and all I hear is Pete say, give us a number.
Yeah. And that can go either way.
Yeah.
You can go either way.
Shout 69, you deviant.
Yeah.
Sun in Mexico clearly has a negative effect on poor Marcus, but what even is more hysterical was Luke's I've got your back, bruv, excuse when he tried to defend the ridiculous guest, stating, oh, I guess he wasn't there long, actually.
What's the name of the emailer?
Dan the New York Hornet.
Dan, it must be lots of fun being friends with you. That's all I can say.
It was a beautifully written email. I'm laughing at it.
How do you know? You never read them in advance.
Hang on a minute.
Abacus in the post, he says.
He's reading it out because it's mugging off you.
Exactly, yeah.
Daisy! Hi, Ramblers. Long time listener, first time emailer. As someone who has been thinking for the last few weeks who could upset Man City on the run-in, I echo Marcus in thinking Burnley and a Burnley bothering at that might be on the cards.
A Burnley bothering could happen. Yeah.
Hashtag drama, she says.
You've only got to wait till Sunday lunchtime.
Yeah.
So you'll find out then.
I'm pumped for it. I am pumped. Hello to Joe Brownan. Hello, Ramblers. As a QPR fan, I've had to endure my fair share of duff managers over the years. You know the night of the type, knackered, over the hill, busted flush relegation merchants that have been sacked more times than Maris Piper. Now we haven't eaten at the top table for a little while, but some of these chaps still get Premier League employed time and time again. So how about this? To stop the same old faces bringing their brand of ineffective football to the Premier League season after season, we impose relegation on managers as well as teams. Once your team's dropped down a division, you are barred from managing there again until you can get promoted back up.
Did you vote for Brexit? Because the EU employment laws won't let you do that.
I think that's a good idea. Why do you always take this as like a genuine proposal that you have to really think about?
Because if they've taken the time to write in, I think they should be treated seriously, Marcus. We should give them the time. Don't you agree?
I do agree with that.
Joe says, stop backing each other up. Joe says the FA bigwigs will iron out the creases. So maybe
they're normally
to
great.
To be honest, if we ship out of Europe anyway, we don't have to deal with any rights for workers.
And if there's any association that could definitely get down to the detail, the nitty gritty, and iron it out and get it sorted, it's definitely the FA. So I completely agree.
Maybe Marcus could float the idea out there next time he's mingling with the great and the good at Club Wembley.
Oh, for crying out loud, has anybody emailed in about Sven?
Good.
Because we're going to do that later anyway.
Yeah. Hayley Goodwin has bought tickets to the live show at the Lowry. Still available at ramblelive.com.
Yeah.
And she wants to wish her other half, George Bishop Green, a big happy birthday. We don't usually do birthday shout outs, but
If it's to do with ticket sales.
Yeah, exactly. So I bought a ticket. Yeah, if I can provide proof, I'll do it.
I got this email forwarded to me by the management as well, Pete, actually. So,
what I've read now, I don't know why he... I don't know why he indulged in that, but if you want to get to the show, shut the Rumble Rumble. We'll start a new show called the Rumble Rumble.
And, yeah, what's it about?
Merely rumbling. Seismic activity.
Presented by Paul Television Speaker.
Yes, if you want to get to the show, shutthefootballramble.com. And if you want to buy tickets to our amazing multi-matrix extravaganza that is the Ramble Live, it's ramblelive.com. We come to a city near you, brother.
We had a first... production meeting about that last week, and it kind of involved a lot of you singing.
Yeah,
so we'll see.
Fighting,
we will very get much involved. See.
I've bought an angle grinder and a piece of.
All right, it's time for an ad break, everybody. After which, we'll talk about Spurs. See you in a minute.
I'll decide whether there's an ad break or not.
Give me the button.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Square into Wordsworth. Play around the corner now for Civic. Right side of the box. Could be a chance for Pickett. Is it going to be deflected in? It's Shannon! It's Steve Shannon with the goal for the Dogs! In the last minute of stoppage time!
That's Steve Shannon for AFC Wimbledon equalising in the 93rd minute, I think, against Luton.
Drama.
Enjoyable.
Yeah, that actually did a pretty good favour for Portsmouth. Ooh. And Andy Brassel on the continent yesterday was keen to get credit from me for it, but I refused to give it to him.
There was a great bit of... do you see Jermaine Defoe having an argument with one of his colleagues? He was like, basically, I think he was going to take the free kick, one of his colleagues.
Just for Rangers?
No, for... Where was he?
Jermaine Defoe's at Rangers, isn't
he? Yeah.
Who are you talking about?
Might be an old clip, actually.
You're not confusing Owen Coyle with bloody Paul Lambert again?
No, it was definitely Jermaine Defoe.
Okay.
But I'd never seen the clip before, and he's basically fighting. It was at Portland Timbers. Was he at Portland Timbers?
Hang on.
Briefly.
No, he was at
Toronto.
He was at Toronto.
Hang on, was it Jermaine Defoe or Owen Coyle?
It was Jermaine Defoe.
Okay, and what happened?
And he's gonna have a fight with his colleague because he wants to take the free kick. And the colleague takes it off him, and he's so angry. And then the colleague just whacks it.
Top corner?
Top corner. Off the bar. Off the bar.
Do you mean teammate?
Teammate.
Yeah. Colleague.
Colleague. Yeah, that's how you see us, isn't it, Pete?
Yeah. Yeah, because we're not teammates, clearly.
Are we friends?
There's no unity.
Are we friends?
Colleagues.
Spurs host West Ham.
Yep.
Due to the failings of other sides, Spurs looking good for the top four finish. They've been very fortunate, haven't they? Well, Arsenal losing two games on the bounce.
They have, but they've been... I mean, if you look at the last six games between those four teams, Spurs, Chelsea and Arsenal have won three each and Man United have won two. Mm. So they have kept up their end of the bargain a bit, Spurs, as well.
They have. They got a late winner against Brighton.
And you were at the game, weren't you?
So I was at the match, yeah. I really felt gutted for Brighton. It was a proper park the bus job.
I didn't see it, so...
It was unbelievable. The way Brighton... So in the first half, Brighton were obviously on the back foot. That's... was always going to be the case. Mm. They were defending deep in the first half, but they showed a little tiny bit of attacking intent, you know, trying to play on the break. I'm not joking. About 2 minutes into the second half, the dynamic set and it was like the last 5 minutes.
The whole half?
Pretty much, yeah.
Right.
And they were so close to holding out. They were playing. So normally you have a back three with wing backs who then drop deep and make a back five. They were playing a back four with wing backs.
Right, so Gross and Bissouma were basically sitting in.
Yeah, so you know how in a back three, you'd have, well, either side of the back three, you'd have your wing backs, as I say.
Yeah, it becomes a five, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, but then you have centre back, centre back, centre back.
Yeah.
They had centre back, centre back, centre back, centre back.
Right.
And then they had the guys, it was a proper backs to the walls job.
I saw they had like 21% possession overall.
Oh, man, it was unbelievable. And Lewis Dunk, he was, when Eriksen scored, the way he just fell to the floor and face into the turf, I felt so sorry for him because he was magnificent. But their tactics were very clever. They haven't scored in, what, five or six Premier League games, something like that. Mm. So they're not going to go away to Spurs and win the match. They know that. So they were just very clever. They were very compact, as we say, with that back four, which became a back six. Mm. Pushed Spurs out wide. And Danny Rose was probably one of Spurs' best players. And they thought, OK, well, we'll put some crosses in all day long for Duncan.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah, they
Duffy.
Eat those up
all
yeah.
day long. Eat bang, heading balls away. They absolutely loved it.
They're on some run, Brighton, and not in a good way. By
no
the way, I mean
they've dropped like a stone.
They've not won in the league since the start of March when they beat Palace.
Uh-huh. But that was a rarity
away from home.
This year, you talk about Burnley having a good 2019. They have had a dreadful 2019. They can't score goals for Toffee. But their defensive record, which is what we've been saying for a while, is probably what, if they do stay up, that will keep them up. Because again, the goal difference, that's why the point against Wolves was so vital for them. Because, you know, if you're 2 points above Cardiff, one win can switch it over. Mm. But actually, that extra point's like two extra points. Because of the goal difference.
I think they might go down, you know.
Well, but because of the goal difference, Cardiff need 4 points.
No, I don't think they do. I think Brighton are only 3 points behind them, right? And if Brighton lose the rest of their games, Cardiff have got two very winnable games.
They do, but I mean, the goal swing would be about, I don't know, 11 or something like that. I just don't see that much going happening, really.
No, that's not my understanding of it. My understanding of it is that they're 3 points behind them.
Yeah.
I think Cardiff can get 4 points out of those two winnable
games. Yeah, well, I know, I was just saying that. I said Cardiff need 4 points.
Yeah.
Because if Cardiff...
I mean, I think they'll get them. That's my point. I think they'll get them.
Well, that's a different... But I'm saying that's why the point away to Wolves was so vital, because it pushes Cardiff on to get 4 points. A one win for Cardiff is not enough now, really, unless the goal swing is massive,
to me,
don't think it will be.
To me, they beat Fulham away and they beat Palace at home. How about that? Stick that in your bank.
Fulham on the beach.
Brighton, they're playing Man United and Man City, respectively, on the last day, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
So that, I think they're both. Well, you never know at Man United, by the way.
True enough. Anyway, we drag it all the way back, to Tottenham now. I went on a bit of a flight.
I've been indulgent as well, don't worry.
But Spurs, they got that winner, which was vital.
Absolutely.
Which really was.
Steve Janssen coming back.
And they've had it.
Vincent Janssen.
Back from the dead.
When he came on, people were like, I haven't seen him for ages. Unbelievable.
Because Pochettino did that really interesting thing about 2 months ago where he said, flatly, in
he's
a press conference,
disgrace.
He's not part of my plans.
Yeah.
Right.
So they said, oh, but these injuries here and there. I think it was when Kane got injured the first time, is Vincent Janssen back? He's not part of my plans.
Yeah,
and
then he just pied him off.
But he backtracked on that.
Well, he obviously has.
And now he's introducing him to the fray.
Was he just a little
bit... Was he instrumental in the winner?
Absolutely not.
No.
was Vincent Janssen just sort of like, look, all of the contracts at Spurs are so heavily weighted into appearances.
I'm earning nothing here.
I've got nothing.
Yeah.
Cupboards are bare. Kids have no shoes.
Well, yeah. I just
think, give me 10 minutes.
Yeah. Because of injuries and because of Son, is not available for the first leg. Actually, would Janssen, he's not even in the Champions League squad, is he?
Possibly not, no.
Oh, God, this is a disaster.
I don't know what's going on. Well, I'm not sure, actually. I should have looked at that. So, anyway, let's move on from Janssen.
But West Ham are 13-2 to cause an upset and win at Spurs this weekend. £10 returns with Bet365 returns £75, including stake.
Yeah, West Ham are 11th. They could feasibly finish 15th because Burnley are only 3 points behind them. Or they could push on just about for a top 10 finish. You know, there's a few teams in that kind of bracket. But I think West Ham, after the start they had and after the season they had last time round, I think it's been a steady season is probably what the doctor ordered.
It's what they needed. It's been steady and quiet off the pitch, and Pellegrini deserves a lot of credit for steadying the ship. I mean, it was only last season when there was protests happening all over the place, sometimes in the middle of games, poor old Mark Noble Bennett. Getting all sorts of sticks. So the fact that they've had an inconsistent mid-table season that's been quiet off the pitch, you can't tell me a West Ham fan wouldn't have accepted that before the season started. So I think Pellegrini deserves credit.
Well, and I tell you what they would relish even more, which would cap off a fairly standard but acceptable season, is the first side to win at Spurs' new stadium.
Love that.
How much would they love that?
They would love that. And Pellegrini also has sort of stitched together a team that's got quite a lot of new players as well.
Yep.
And we've seen in other parts of the Premier League table this season where that can go really wrong when you sign too many players. So he's done very well at sort of blending them as well. He's had a mix and a blend on the ones and twos.
Setting the trend.
And he's sorted it out.
Is Arnautovic going to play? Does he care? Is he going to be there? Has he already gone?
I think we're living in a post-Arnautovic world now.
I think you're absolutely right.
The long men of West Ham.
No. Of all the many football shows I do, at no point in any production meeting or running has anyone mentioned the word Marco Arnautovic. So I think we are living in a post-Arnautovic world.
Yeah, he's the type of player where when he wanted to go, just let him go.
Yeah.
Let him go. Having said that, he'll probably get the winner now at the Tottenham Hotspur of Stadium. Now, let's go to a South Coast derby
where
Southampton face Bournemouth, as they would say in Scotland. Saints nearly got all 3 points against Watford.
You're not calling it the South Coast derby to wind me up now because you've not got Jimmy to back you up.
Pete, do you fancy getting involved in it?
Nah,
he's done the emails.
Well, I sincerely hope that Portsmouth get promoted because I like it when you're happy, Luke.
Oh, is that right?
And and we're just one step closer to the South Coast derby. Yeah. Although I think it would only be one step closer because I don't think Southampton are going to get relegated.
Nor the Bet365, by the way.
No, I'm sure they don't. Yeah. But again, that point against Watford could have been all three, of course, if it wasn't for that last gasp.
I love early goals.
Or equaliser.
I love early goals.
All right, Shane Long.
Yeah.
That was good.
The reason I love early goals is because there are a lot of football players out there, I'm sure, at all levels, who get on the pitch, the referee starts the game, and they go, right, let's get cracking, let's just sort this out.
Yep.
Right, just make sure I'm properly warmed up. Yeah, first 5 or 6 minutes, I'll get the flavour of the game, work out what the pace of the game is, the tempo, figure some stuff out. Shane Long is just like, bam!
Yep.
He is like that all the time. He's like that taking the kids to the school.
He is.
It's such a Shane Long goal, by which I mean it doesn't happen very often.
Yes.
And it involves chasing down a lost cause as fast as you can.
Well, for a guy who hasn't played that much and hasn't scored that many goals, what a finish.
Oh yeah, it was a great finish.
He finished.
Take nothing away from the finish.
It was absolutely glorious. He needed that, my goodness. Yeah, but the quickest goal in the history of the Premier League after just 7 seconds, which was quite something, as I say.
You know who had it before him?
No, it wasn't Ledley King.
It was Ledley King.
Was it Ledley King?
Yeah.
Yeah, how about that, Petey?
I'm surprised he was on the field.
Well, Ledley King.
Yeah.
It wasn't recently. He didn't do it like 2 weeks ago.
What about the Watford fans creating a massive banner promoting the film Rocket Man about Elton John's career? Just saying Rocket Man. I saw that and I was like, is it a request?
Yeah.
It was the film. But then they were treated to a halftime performance, though.
By Johnny Barnes.
Johnny Barnes, former player. See
what?
That?
No, I missed this completely. What
John
happened?
Barnes came out, obviously sung the World in Motion rap.
What has that got to do with anything?
Just fancied it.
He
used to play for Watford.
He used to play for him.
And he's in England. So what more do you want, mate?
Yeah.
Gordon Bennett.
It's great stuff. Are you telling me you'd prefer the other kind of half-time entertainment?
I want to see the Chelsea flamethrowers.
Marcus, I'm
dim the lights, flamethrowers, ball boys.
What's your problem with rap music?
Oh, don't get him started.
It's just John Barnes. He's your equivalent of a Wordsworth.
It's just words, mate.
Oh, yeah. Dear. Yes. So Southampton, they're safe, aren't they? 6 points above Cardiff. Much better goal difference again.
Yeah, they are a colossal 200-1 to be relegated. £10 with Bet365 returns £2,010, including stake, should they go down. You know, as much as it pains me to say it, because I want Southampton to lose every game, as people know, they're not going to get relegated.
They're not going to get relegated.
No, they're not going to get relegated.
Are they going to be rewarded for their survival bid, presuming that they do clinch it?
I have to say, they've under Hasenhüttl, who's
he'll take them out on the tiles, won't he?
I don't know, actually.
Do you not
the
think?
Alpine Klopp, what's his vibe?
Well, that's true.
I think it's just anger, isn't he? Yeah.
He's very, very sort of intense.
What's an angry party? I don't know.
But what Hasenhüttl has done,
yes,
I think, and I don't want to read too much into it, is he's come in and he has shown that these guys you were talking about in the first half of the show, Marcus, that our dear friend who emailed in was saying about these guys just getting these jobs over and over again, this managerial merry-go-round, what Michael Lewis, who wrote Moneyball, would call the club,
yes,
yeah, the establishment. He's come in and said, you know what, with a bit of attention to detail and some interesting training techniques and a bit of a fresh look, this team can easily stay in the Premier League this season. And he's shown it. And it doesn't have to be tired old stuff like, oh, you know, let's hit the ball down into the corner and pick up the second balls. I guess it's fine to do that, but Southampton deserve credit for making a brave decision, bringing a guy in who didn't know the league, but showed that his techniques were universally successful across different countries.
Definitely. No,
he did look very exasperated at some of the players, though.
He looks like David Morrissey, which is great.
He does look like David Morrissey, yeah.
Pete, Newcastle players apparently waiting with bated breath to see if Mike Ashley keeps his promise of funding a team holiday to Las Vegas as a reward for staying up this season.
Now, this is something I should have known about in advance, but I didn't. Great stuff.
One word for you, economy.
Are you going? Are you going? Pete, you
I'm
got
there, mate.
Pete's going to fund it.
I'll be there with a bottle of Grey Goose in the VIP area. Come on, guys, take a seat.
I asked Pete earlier, Marcus, to name his top five living British national treasures.
Mm.
First name?
Mike Ashley.
Les Ferdinand.
No, it was a second name. First was Bob Mortimer.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Second.
And I didn't have a third because I couldn't think of anyone.
Yeah, well, you didn't need one, really.
John Barnes can have it if he wants it.
Do you think they should go to Vegas or not?
Well,
but once they finish their games,
they play very well. But what do you come back to? I would worry Leaving that, I would worry leaving the training grounds because he'll have it. He'll sell it for scrap.
Come back and
if you leave it.
I've relaunched Alders.
He'll have a Debenham. Debenham's moved in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could train in Debenham's, couldn't they? Just go around the mannequins.
Little shopping centre.
He'll use them as mannequins.
You saw some footage of Newcastle training. You know that wall they've got, the fake wall, the statues.
Yeah.
It's just like Debenham's clothes on it.
No, but he'll have Miguel, Miguel Almiron in Sports Direct advertising just clothes. Just stand there. Oh, you're injured, are you? You'd stand there.
I reckon it'll be a shopping centre. So around the pitch, down to the stands, that's just like the little walkway around the shops, and the pitch is in the middle. It's optional if you want to watch the game.
Jürgen Klinsmann in the frame, apparently.
Why are you so close to the mic?
Because I was trying to be conspiratorial.
In the frame for what?
Yeah.
Newcastle job.
Why? Benitez is there.
He won't be there for very long.
Have a bit of respect for Rafa.
Why is Klinsy going to do that? Is he going to do it from California like he did the Germany job? That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Well, that's why they're going to Vegas. Just meet the team.
Meet Jürgen. Yeah, meet Jürgen.
Oh, there we are.
He's driving from Modesto. Yeah.
Before we go to the best bet, a little mention for Bournemouth, currently 14th on 41 points. They finished 12th last season on 44 points. Then the season before, it finished 9th with 46. Their first season, when they came up, 16th on 42. I mean, that's a bit of consistency for you.
Yeah, it's very hard for them to finish above 11th, the way the table is now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Eddie Howe's established them as a Premier League team, and he's done brilliantly. There's nothing really more you can say.
Realistically, I know they finished 9th, obviously higher than where they are now, but it's kind of like, no disrespect, it's like as good as it gets. But I say that in a very positive way. I'm saying, like, you know, some of the football they've played exciting stuff. They've taken the odd point or three off some of the bigger sides and whatnot. This is the best time in probably the club's history. I mean, maybe there's an anomaly I'm missing.
But. No, I think that's right. And I think that they could possibly be forgiven for asking for a Burnley-type situation where they force their way into 7th, get a bit of Europe, or they win a cup or get to a cup final. That's probably the only thing missing off them. But really, that's you can't really complain.
Yeah.
You can't complain, I don't think.
Take them to Vegas.
Take them to Vegas with Mike Ashley's mob.
Get them all there.
I'd say Newcastle, for a club that don't actually really do anything at all, are a great manufacturer of stories for us on this show. when you actually relate that to the and cross-reference to what things actually happen, which by the way is nothing, the amount of stories coming at that club is incredible.
Yeah. Well, they've just
not all positive though.
None of it's positive.
It's like a really badly managed club, but then in the middle of it, they're still doing all right because they've got a decent manager. Yeah,
I think a lot of Newcastle fans would prefer them to be worse, don't you? So they could justify their opinions.
I just think that I don't think whatever the situation, they could win the league, they'd still want Ashley gone.
Yeah,
and I'd understand that.
Yeah, if Mike Ashley did deliver the league, if Mike Ashley got Newcastle, if Newcastle
Luke
United,
footballramble.com
did a Leicester City,
right.
What do you think the fans' opinion of the establishment of Newcastle would be? Would it change?
Yeah, but that's the thing that always gets me about the media, and I'm including you in this one. They sort of think that Newcastle
because of the lack of fans funding.
Fans want instant success. If they did get success, the opinions would change massively. But we're not even in the same ballpark of even being a competitive team in the league. And it's annoying.
I think the reason why they don't like Ashley is because of the way it's been managed. It's not a case of, oh, he's maybe one or two people used to say back in the day, oh, it's because he's a southerner or whatever. It's nothing to do with that. It's because he's not putting his hand in his pocket and everyone's saying, for crying out loud, if you want to sell the club, you know, spend a bit so you get better and then you can sell it off.
He's not spent any money for such a long time. Look at like Swiss Rambler stuff.
He
hasn't got any money.
Look at his jeans.
Yeah, that's true.
He hasn't got any money, but as soon as there's a bit of high street real estate open, suddenly he's found a couple of quid behind the back of the sofa, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Those jeans and those
But if he wants to buy Miguel Almiron,
the crocked forward,
he has to get a loan in, doesn't he?
All right. It's time for our best bet with Bet365.
It is. And this week it comes courtesy of Matt Schooler. I think that's pronounced. He says, chaps, I'll keep this short. Forget the title race. I'm going for narrative.
Ooh.
Everton just battered Manchester United, which pretty much guarantees Crystal Palace 3 points. Brighton are never going to score a goal again, ever. So, Andros Townsend and Iosi Perez, both to score at any time,
love that,
is currently sitting at 14-1 on Bet365. Love the show, Matt. I love this.
What up, Matt? Let's hope Andros Townsend starts, because he didn't last week.
He's
making a mockery out of you.
Many apologies to those of you who didn't get selected. We get a lot of emails. This one stood out because it was a bit different. Everyone wants to be involved, which is great, but this one is the one we've chosen this time. It's £50 at 14-1, returns £750, including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information on that, do visit begambleaware.org. Good luck, Matt.
What are the odds on Sven getting the Scotland job?
Don't know. Not got it in front of me, but I'm surprised.
It's taken very short.
To mention it. How do you feel about it?
I feel very excited. I love it, though, the reason why we're talking about this is because Sven has said, yeah, I'd like that.
Yeah.
The SFA have not made a sound.
I think that what's happened is, all I'm going to say is this. He was most recently seen managing in the Philippines.
Yep.
In a footballing sense, mm-hmm. that's a backwater.
Yes, it is. Yes.
He gets the number one slot on our 12 eggs of Easter. And all of a sudden, he's been linked with an illustrious, storied nation like Scotland. Some of the finest players to ever come out of Europe have been Scottish. Sven is back on the map thanks to the 12 eggs of Easter.
Some of the finest players to come out of Europe have been Scottish. I mean, I know Sven's a blast from the past, but my goodness, you're going back a bit there, aren't you?
I didn't put a time on it.
Well, do you know? I think
you'd be very hard pushed to say that Kenny Dalglish is not one of the finest European footballers of all time.
I am going to quote the Daily Record here. He has spent much of the last decade raking in fortunes on a tour of football outposts all over the globe.
Lovely stuff.
Getting back on the island of Britain.
I'll do it now.
Sven wants his hands.
Oh, now it's time for Going for Gold.
As a part of the world where everyone's wearing skirts, they're kilts, Sven. They're men.
He said Going for Gold.
All right. So, it's on, and the time is right. It's time for you, what you would have played our game. As people are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high, we're all going for gold.
Trying being the operative word.
Yeah, and we normally do different quiz when there's just three of us, but yeah. I didn't prepare one, so we're going to do this instead.
No, we're fine. No,
usually when I put that amount of work in, you have a right old pop at me, so I'm going to have a pop at you now.
Go on then.
Naughty, naughty boy.
Sorry.
Naughty little boy.
Stop, is it Sven?
Yeah, is it Sven?
Is it Sven? It's not Sven. It comes from Ryan D. Thank you, Ryan D. I was born on the 20th of June, 1987.
Okay.
Stop, Joe Hart.
Incorrect. Early in my career, I made 11 appearances for Canada under 20s.
Stop. No.
Sorry. Stop. No.
Sorry.
Stop. Is it?
I've got nothing.
Like a bad automatic.
I am.
Mark Burcham.
Incorrect. I think it's the first time he's ever been mentioned.
I think he is Canadian, though. Mm.
I moved to England in 2003, going on to make over 250.
Luke's got
it. Stop.
Luke's got it.
Owen Hargreaves.
Incorrect.
No. Oh, no, I was not 31.
I will restart the clue. I moved to England in 2003, going on to make over 250 Premier League appearances.
How many appearances?
250.
Stop, Junior Hoylett.
Incorrect.
Is he Canadian?
Possible.
In 2003, I scored...
Well, anything's possible.
In 2013, I scored one of the fastest Premier League goals, clocking in at 13 seconds.
Ooh. Saucy.
We've seen quicker this week.
Yeah. That would be news any other week.
That's the Premier League goals.
I feel like we should have that.
The clubs I've played for include Ipswich, Chelsea and Portsmouth.
Oh, this is embarrassing.
Come on.
Ah, baby.
The Pompey boys.
I've got nothing.
At international level, I've been capped 61 times. I helped my country qualify for their first major tournament at the 2014 World Cup.
Yeah, so he's not playing for the Canadian national
side. No, definitely not.
2014, did you say?
Yeah. Who was the new nations at the 2014 World Cup?
Canada. They were pulling up trees left, right and centre, mate.
Oh, I should know this.
Oh, balls.
Yeah, it's not good, is it? Not good, mate.
I think he might be an African player.
Carry on.
Final clue. I won the Player of the Year award for Stoke in 2013.
Stop. Oh, no, all I've got in my mind is Ricardo Fuller, but it's not him.
Incorrect.
He played for Pompey and Stoke.
He did, yeah. I did think that could have been him.
He stumped us. Unless you've got anything.
Terribly disappointing. I don't think I do have anything.
Oh, you haven't got a single player on in your brain?
I do, but I can't think of the name.
We haven't got the MVP gym with us, so we're in trouble.
Give us, have you got any information about the person at all?
No, he used to play for Stoke.
He's 31-ish.
I know it's not Ryan Shawcross.
I've got six facts in my head. It was Asma Begovic.
Oh, Begovic! Oh, of course!
Oh. Well played.
Goalkeepers always throw me.
Yeah.
It's time for you, for you to play the game. Here to kink shame.
He scored, didn't he? Giant, you said. Trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky
where the stakes are so high. We're all going for going for Lord. Smashing work. The points go to me and Ryan D.
You get the point.
Look at me, I'm Ryan D. Ruining going golf for gold.
You win the G4G. That worked. Oh, why do you get a point just for reading the email out?
Because you don't.
That's fair.
It's not fair.
It's not fair. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
None of this is fair.
Thank you for listening like Neil to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. I've got to get the line in. Now we can say what we want.
I love going for gold, man. I love it.
I don't know why we just don't get out of the bloody thing.
We are. We're out of there.
Oh, I see, yes. Thank you very much. I've already said that. Cheers, Lukey and
Goodbye.
Petey.
Goodbye.
Get well,
Bye.
Jim.
Good luck, Burnley.
This was a Radio Stakhanov production.
I got bronchitis. Nobody got time for that.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.